May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to another edition of Voices of the Fathers. This is Father John Sulzdorf. I recently rediscovered a slim volume entitled The Austerly Selection from the Latin Fathers, published in 1950. The preface praises the great classical authors such as Caesar and Cicero, and yet insists that the Christian writers are also worthy. And so this collection includes very brief selections from the Fathers of the Church, and it occurred to me I might offer a podcast of the readings with an English translation and some comments, along with reading the Latin original. Some of you might be getting patristic readings in the Office of Readings in the Liturgy of the Hours, but do you hear them? And that's another question. For this edition of Voices of the Fathers, we don't hear from a father at all. We hear from a woman who went on a long pilgrimage to the Holy Land and other places and then wrote notes about it in letters back home. So today we hear a brief excerpt from the pilgrimage or travels of Etheria, sometimes called Egeria. And she was a late 4th century pilgrim, probably from the Iberian Peninsula, possibly southern Gaul. And her travel diary, the Itinerarium Egeriae, provides an eyewitness account of the Holy Land between about 381 and 384. And she writes in a very colloquial Latin to her circle of women back home, her dear ladies, and she describes this extended journey through Egypt and Sinai and Palestine and Syria and Mesopotamia. She visited monastic communities in the Egyptian desert. She went to Mount Sinai, where she went up the mountain associated with Moses. She went to Jerusalem, which became her base for several years. She has a detailed description of the liturgies at Jerusalem, especially Holy Week. We're going to hear one of those, a little excerpt from that. The text itself has a lot of missing pieces, lacunae. And philologists are interested in Egeria and her letters because they contain a wealth of information about the evolution of Latin in late antiquity into what we can call the proto-Romance languages, from which like the medieval and the modern family of Romance languages emerged. So her style is colloquial, and so you know, there's in her Latin, which isn't really very good, a greater reliance on prepositions and reduced case distinctions and so forth. I won't trouble you with all that. So the brief excerpt we're going to hear is her observations of Holy Thursday night at Jerusalem. She describes all the different kinds of people that are there, and then what they're going to do, the time of day that it stretches through, and then when the bishop comes and how he admonishes them. It's pretty clear from the translation. The translation's a little bit rough because the Latin itself is a little bit rough, but that's okay. It's okay, by the way, to know that it's a translation. Some people in the whole liturgical translation debate were whining that, you know, the translation that came out, well, it sounds like a translation. Well, it is a translation because the church is Latin. Church's language is Latin. But I digress. You can listen for a couple of odd ways of phrasing things. For example, she says she refers to a time in the morning when a person is just able to recognize another person. Well, that's probably because it's extremely dark early in the morning, and there's not quite, you know, it's a little bit lighter, and then you can actually make out who people are. The bishop will tell them at a certain point to return at the second hour, and then they stay until the sixth hour of the day, because of the so-called creeping to the cross, as it's sometimes called. And it takes a long time for so many people, and then they continue again all night long. So this is a really serious marathon they're talking about. So let's dig into this brief excerpt from the Itinerarium. about Holy Thursday in Jerusalem in the 4th century. When therefore they had arrived in Gethsemane, first a suitable prayer was made, and thus a hymn is said, and likewise that passage from the Gospel is read where the Lord was arrested. And when that passage has been read, such is the roaring and the groaning of the whole people with weeping, that perhaps the lamentation of all the people might even be heard as far as the city. And already at that hour they go on foot to the city with hymns. They reach the gate at the hour when a man begins, as it were, to recognize another man. Then through the midst of the whole city all, to a single person, greater and lesser, rich and poor, are there prepared. Especially on that day no one departs from the vigils until morning. Thus the bishop is brought from Gethsemane to the gate, and from there through the entire city to the cross. But before the cross, when they have arrived, the light already begins to grow bright. There again is read that passage from the Gospel where the Lord is brought before Pilate, and everything whatsoever is written that Pilate said to the Lord or to the Jews is read in full. Afterwards, the bishop addresses the people, encouraging them, because they have labored the whole night and are still to labor that day, that they not grow weary but have hope in God, who for that labor will repay them with a greater reward. And so encouraging them as he is able, he speaks to them, "Go now for a while, each one of you, to your little homes. Sit down and rest a little, and near the second hour of the day all be ready here, so that from that hour until the sixth you may be able to behold the holy wood of the cross, each believing that it will profit his salvation. For from the sixth hour we must again all gather here in this place, that is, before the cross, so that with readings and prayers we may devote ourselves until night." Okay, I think we're ready for the Latin now. I won't trouble you with a lot of Latin notes, but there are a couple of things to point out. You might hear an ad quod for a more usual cum of temporal clauses. You might hear a quasi in there, like in popular speech, almost like modern Italian, to modify as a whole phrase, as it were, kind of like that. Totum seems to be an adverb here. You'll hear an usque ad sexta. The more usual phrase would be usque ad sextam. And, she manages to produce a nominative absolute, which she puts into the mouth of the bishop. So, with that said, quis dicis? And I think I'll bypass the reconstructed classical pronunciation for this. We're already sliding out of late antiquity into different vowels and consonants. Cum ergo per ventum fuerit in Gethsemane, fit primum oratio apta. Sic dicitur hymnus, item legitur ille locus de Evangelio ubi comprehensus est Dominus. Qui locus ad quod lectus fuerit, tantus rugitus et mugitus totius populi est cum fletu, ut forsi tamporo ad civitatem gemitus populi omnis auditus sit. Et jam illa ora itur ad civitatem pedibus cum hymnis, per venitur ad portam ea ora qua incipit quasi homo hominem cognoscere, inde totum per mediam civitatem omnes usque ad unum maiores atque minores divites, pauperes, toti ibi parati, specialiter illa die nullus recedit a vigiliis usque in mane. Sic deducitur episcopus a Gethsemane usque ad portam et inde per totam civitatem usque ad crucem. Ante crucem autem ubi ventum fuerit, iam lux quasi clara incipit esse, ibi deno legitur ille locus de Evangelio ubi adducitur Dominus ad Pilatum, et omnia quicumque scripta sunt Pilatum ad Dominum dixisse, aut ad Judeos, totum legitur. Postmodum autem malloquitur episcopus populum confortans eos, coniam et tota nocte laboraverint et ad hoc laboraturis in dipsa die, ut non lassentur, sed habeant spem in Deo, qui eis pro eo labore maiorem mercedem rediturusit. Et sic confortans eos, ut potest ipse aloquens dicit eis, ite interim nunc unus quisque ad domunculas vestras, sedete vobis et modico, ed ad oram prope secundam diei omnes parati estute hic, ut de ea ora usque ad sextam sanctum lignum crucis positis videre, ad salutem sibi unus quisque nostrum credens pro futurum. De ora enim sexta denuo necesse habemus hic omnes convenire in isto loco, id est ante crucem, ut lectionibus et orationibus, usque ad noctem operam demus. Thus a little excerpt from the Pilgrimage or Travels of Etheria, the Itinerarium Egeriae, sometimes called the Peregrinatio Etheriae, or the Peregrinatio ad Loca Sancta, or some other combination like that. One of the earliest, it is the earliest extant graphic account of a Christian pilgrimage from the late 4th century Christian pilgrim, Egeria. So she went to Bethlehem and Hebron and Galilee and Edessa, and she was looking for sites connected with biblical events, and she talked to local clergy and monks, and she read scripture at each location, and she recorded how the geography corresponded to the sacred text, and her account blends curiosity and careful observations and a great deal of piety, making her a narrative, a foundational document also for the study of early Christian pilgrimages. And also liturgical history. She makes a lot of notes about liturgy. And there are a couple things we can take away from this. Egeria unites a disciplined observation with her living faith. And she shows how pilgrimages can be intellectually serious and spiritually fruitful, how the two can play off of each other. So scripture is read in situ. Geography helps to illuminate revelation. And as I think maybe those of you who have made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land have found out on your own, how liturgy orders the experience. It helps to have the structure of the calendar and liturgy. It's also really interesting because it's a lay woman writing for other women. And so she broadens our understanding of early Christian education of women too. And as another takeaway, you know, we live in an age of very rapid travel. She takes this is very slow. It's a different age. We live in an age of rapid travel and thin impressions. Egeria, on the other hand, models for us attentive presence and careful documentation and a reverent engagement with sacred history, something we could use more of today in a time of shortening attention spans and too much distracting information. And of course, she's giving us a good example of making a holy pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a very important thing to do once in a while. It really helps to gain insight into certain mysteries of the faith and also ourselves. Consider making a pilgrimage, if not necessarily to the Holy Land or, you know, someplace in France or whatever. Maybe there's a local shrine or a national shrine to some saint that could be close to where you live, and make a day of it. Give it a shot. And if you have stayed with me this long, thank you for your attention. This is Father John Zollstorff, and we'll be back again with another one of these Voices of the Father series.